Hello and welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, she, her pronouns, the youth educator and advocate at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often, young people are just expected to know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us, and a big place we see these examples is in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media, like movies and TV shows, to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. Our guest this month is Sophia, she, her pronouns, a local college student. Our discussion today will be about the Netflix show BoJack Horseman, part drama, part comedy series that follows an anthropomorphic horse named BoJack. Once a beloved sitcom actor, BoJack struggles with addiction, mental health issues, and the trauma surrounding his parents' relationship, which shines through in his own love life. If you would like to reach out to us for support or more information, please call Next Steps 24/7 and free helpline at 1-800-315-5579. I'd like to now introduce Sophia for our conversation about BoJack Horseman. So can you just tell me a little bit about what your experience has been like growing up and seeing behaviors in relationships in the media that you have watched?
For me, you know, growing up watching these shows, it's Maine. There's not too many people around here. And as a young girl, I watched, you know, all these shows like Victorious, and I watched all these movies with these very particular dynamics between men and women. And, you know, I found myself idolizing them and really internalizing them because, you know, the media that you're consuming, how could you not? And I still find myself doing that today, especially right now. I just started Sex and the City because it is on Netflix. And it's hard not to compare your own lives to these shows because they're curated to be relatable. They're curated and created so that you are able to do that. I feel like everyone does that a little bit to some extent. Like everyone has to. If you watch shows like I do, I don't know. But, you know, watching these shows, I've always found myself making excuses for these characters too, which, you know, obviously I recognize is harmful. But, you know, when you've been doing something for so long, you kind of do it subconsciously. And that's just one of those things for me. So idolizing, comparing, excusing. Those are my three things that I think encapsulate my experience watching this, watching relationships in media.
Yeah, and I don't think that you're alone in that. I definitely do the same thing, and I'm 34, even knowing now what I know, right? You know, when I was younger, I kind of had that excuse of, I don't really know any better, and so this is what I'm being shown in the media. And so we do kind of internalize those things, and we make excuses for those characters that we just love to pieces, even though they might have some questionable behaviors going on. But I do subconsciously still do that, and I think that a lot of us still do that, even when we maybe know better, when we think of those behaviors as like, maybe they're not the greatest.
How could you not? You're watching this show. You're watching hours of this show. How could you not?
You get so kind of engrossed in it. It becomes like, I know for me, I read a lot of books, and a lot of times you just get so trapped in that world almost. Yeah. And then you look up and you're like, oh, I have to go to my own life now.
Yes.
When you like identify with some of the stuff the characters are going through when you're watching a show, especially if you're watching a show that has, you know, 6 seasons or 9 seasons and you're binge watching it, you kind of like feel like you're part of that world a little bit.
Oh my God, totally. Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about BoJack Horseman today. What is it about this show that you were just like, yes, we need to talk about this?
So many things to talk about with the show. I've watched it 3 times, so obviously there's something that keeps me coming back. And I feel like every time I watch it, I notice something different. I hate to say this, but my first watch, kind of like, oh, like this is such a cool show. My third watch, I guess, because I already know what's happening, I become more critical of it. And I guess I become more critical of the characters and the things they say, the things they do. So we just got to get into it. Like there's so many things I wanted to talk to you about, you know, regarding the show. Oh my God. gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this show. What is like your first example of something that you just thought we should talk about this in terms of behaviors that are happening?
There's an episode where BoJack goes off the grid for a while and he goes to his family's cabin, and this cabin belonged to his grandfather. And you know, we get a bunch of flashbacks to his mother as a young girl and her mother, and you know, that kind of relationship there, this more traditional 19, I think it was like 1960s, maybe 1960s, 1970s, you know, man and wife relationship. And there is so much to talk about here. That episode is devastating. And, you know, as I said, I'll forget about BoJack for a minute. You know, this is about Beatrice and her mom. Beatrice's mom has a procedure. They call it a procedure in the show. They never, you know, explicitly say that it is a lobotomy, but she comes back with a scar right on her head after losing Beatrice's brother, older brother, in, I think it was World War II. She's grieving, and it just kind of portrays this man-woman dynamic where the man knows better, the man knows what you need, and you need a lobotomy. And you know, it's just watching this whole episode, watching her get the lobotomy and seeing how Beatrice, of course, you know, that's not, she recognizes it's not fully her mother anymore, but watching her relationship and her feelings towards her father progress throughout the show, starting at this point, just feels so, it's so sad. It is so sad because we know later on in the show, Beatrice really appreciates and feels like she owes her father a lot. Even though he did this to her mother, she doesn't necessarily see how wrong it was that he not only encouraged, but, you know, pushed her to get this procedure so that she would not be grieving anymore. And you know, and pushing her to do this essentially erases her person, her personality. And, you know, watching Beatrice kind of idolize her father as a man and, you know, as a provider is just so, I don't know, it's reminiscent of how, you know, men in our patriarchal society and in the US, they hold these dominant positions. And even to this day, you know, it's we live in a male-dominated society. Men will always be more right than women as long as we live in this type of society. So just kind of watching her idolize her father, excuse her father for doing this terrible thing for her mother simply because he provided for her and provided an example of what a good man is, I think damaged the way that she views relationships and thereby damaged her future relationships with men.
I think you were spot on when you related all of that to today's world and today's society, because even though we're not seeing men push women to get lobotomies anymore, there are a lot of things that we can argue that women are being pushed into, or decisions that are being made for women. And I think that it makes sense that that would affect those future relationships that people have with partners that maybe kind of have those same characteristics as their parents. I think we definitely see that in BoJack Horseman with Beatrice and her future husband, Butterscotch. We see how maybe some of that past stuff with her dad has kind of shaped her life with the path that she chooses, the relationships that she's choosing. And it just kind of creates this generational cycle of this kind of behavior.
I feel like this is only reinforced for her when, you know, her and Butterscotch, she strays away from what her father wanted. He wanted her to marry into this other company so that they could be a family company and make a bunch of money, but she ended up with Butterscotch. And here she is with a child in an unhappy marriage, you know, it, which I think just creates such a harmful mental state for her and is so harmful for all of her relationships going forward, especially towards BoJack and Butterscotch. Generational trauma has, it's becoming more of a talked about topic nowadays with the rise of destigmatization of, you know, mental health topics. I think this is just something else that has become less stigmatized. It's not as taboo anymore to talk about your trauma, to talk about your mental health issues.
I know that when I was growing up, it was not something that you ever talked about.
Right.
And I love that now it's something that everybody wants to talk about. And it can only go up from here, hopefully. But how do you think watching something like this specific part of BoJack Horseman, where Beatrice is experiencing those things with her mom and her dad, and then getting into a relationship with someone like Butterscotch and that relationship, and then how she is kind of treating BoJack afterwards, how do you think that that kind of might affect somebody who doesn't have that background knowledge to know about generational trauma and about how it's kind of our responsibility to deal with that.
Well, this can just be so harmful again in so many different ways, just like everything we've talked about. But watching these relationships on the screen, not having background knowledge on generational trauma, I feel like can just further reinforce this idea that fathers in society are the people that run the households and the people that should be making the decisions, simply because of how we've seen Beatrice's life play out after she stopped listening to her father and started making her own decisions. And then once she receives help from her father again, she is effectively pulled out from a life of possible poverty, which she was living in, because before her father gave Butterscotch a job, he was working as a fish canner. And then here he is with a six-figure job in office, and they upgrade their house. There's this whole time lapse. And without her father, that would not have been possible. So I guess this just presents an image of a broken family that, if you did not critically examine, you might be like, oh wow, her father helps her out a lot. She should have a lot of gratitude, not recognizing the detrimental effects of Beatrice's viewership of her parents' relationship and what happened to her mother has on her own life and what it does to her son and how she passes that trauma on to her son.
To further that point, we kind of learn through seeing things like this. If I want to be successful and I want to have money and I want to have a nice house and I want things that we all try to attain in our life, they're like goals that we have, that putting up with this toxic behavior is something that we maybe just need to look past. And that, when we'll get into BoJack's relationships in a little bit, but we kind of hear a lot like, well, they had a bad childhood, or, well, my parents fought all the time, and this is just how it is,
Right.
or I'm allowed to behave this way because this is what I learned, or it's a kind of an excuse because I had a bad childhood. My mother was verbally abusive, so this is how I get to talk to my partners. When in reality, it is our responsibility to deal with those behaviors and those feelings that come up for us.
Absolutely. As a society that now says we recognize mental health and says that we want to start addressing mental health issues, but is not truly doing anything. I don't know. It's also difficult to help people that may not realize that they want or need help, especially people who, are in these relationships and maybe putting up with behavior that, they should not be putting up with, harmful behaviors because of, their family or societal expectations or familial expectations for them.
If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and today we are talking with Sophia about the many relationships in the show BoJack Horseman. Can you think of an example of one of BoJack's relationships where there are some not so great behaviors that maybe are being kind of excused away?
He starts dating one of his co-stars, who's named Gina. And he, at this point, is having a lot of opioid abuse issues. And he eventually ends up choking her almost to death. And this is all caught on film. And this whole relationship, I think from the start, there were a lot of warning signs here. First, he didn't actually want to be in a relationship with her, which is established many, many times just by the way that he treats her. especially when they're first starting to, kind of hook up outside of their set. He has no regard for the woman that he has sex with. He doesn't care about their well-being, telling them after they have sex, get out, basically. So, this relationship is no different. And he has not really changed all that much from the first season in terms of, these types of relationships that he has. And he continues to mistreat her throughout their entire relationship. For example, she shares with him that she has this dream of going on Broadway and singing in this musical. And he makes fun of her and then sets up this like interview with the producers of the show that they're on. And even though that interview is set up with good intentions, it ends up humiliating her. So he effectively rips that dream from her and throws it in the trash by humiliating her in front of their producers. And although he recognizes that this did humiliate her, I'm not sure if he ever gets to officially apologize because she then makes excuses for him and tells him, it's okay. Like, now I know I can't do this. Now I know that's just not in the cards for me. It's fine. And then he thinks that it's fine. And there's no other discussion about it. And they just move on like normal. I feel like this is an example of women simply dismissing these things because they either don't want to lose this man or they just can't find the strength to have a conversation with this, have a confrontation about this, and express their true emotions and just kind of push it off, being like, okay, it's fine, which I think is common amongst women in the society. Women are expected to be docile and not be disturbances, not cause any issues.
You brought up making excuses, and a lot of us tend to do that for our partners when maybe they do something questionable or they do something that has harmed us or humiliated us. We'll think, well, they had a hard day. It's really not that big of a deal. Or maybe, I shouldn't have wanted this, or what I wanted was silly. And we do tend to just kind of downplay those things. And I think media, where that is being reinforced, like you said, is going to be harmful to those who are younger and who are maybe getting into relationships for the first time. And then maybe some of these things start happening because there's a way to realize that something isn't for you, just like Gina realized maybe, her dream wasn't something that was going to be happening. There's a way for her to realize that where BoJack could have been actually supportive.
I don't think he needed to be involved in this at all. I think there are some things that are our things, our dreams, our hopes that, maybe don't need any outside intervention, or maybe not to that extent. I think being supportive, that is the best thing you can do.
Absolutely. And you can be supportive without sticking your hands in it and, actually doing anything. Support can look like so many things. And I think that, when we're watching TV shows like this, that doesn't make for good entertainment. So, we're seeing those big gestures that maybe sometimes come off as passionate or romantic, but if they're harmful and they're humiliating, then those aren't things that we want to have happening. Were there some other examples of BoJack's relationships that kind of highlight some of those behaviors?
This one episode where he has to confront a lot of the women that he slept with in the 90s. And I think we just get a few more examples of how he treats women and the excuses that people continue to make for him, and how, despite having knowledge, that he is capable of and actively does treat women like he does, they want to be friends with him. And, they don't discontinue or they don't stop their relationship with BoJack. And, this episode is BoJack has to help his daughter find her birth mother. And they have a scrapbook of all the women that he slept with in the 90s because they confronted the president of his fan club in the 90s. And then he slept with her to get this notebook, which, he slept with her and his daughter went in and stole this book, the scrapbook. And just watching this entire episode, seeing the things that these women are saying he does, for example, this one celebrity that he slept with said that she got pregnant, and apparently he like sent her a check and labeled it my half of the abortion. Just seeing how many women he's treated like this, I think reinforces this negative, toxic version of hookup culture where, men have all the say and the woman here are simply used for their bodies. Because when he says you go, you go. And I think this just presents this power dynamic between him, every single woman that he sleeps with here, simply because he has all the power. He's the celebrity. If he doesn't call, then I can't call him. If he doesn't call, then it's over and I'll never see him again. Specifically says, these women, I've not seen them since I slept with them. And it is like 100 women. So the rate at which he was doing this and how he's never called out on it, he never experiences any consequences for it, which is why he continues doing it. And these women never contact him again and never share how awful this has been and how their experience has been with him doing this, and just sharing what that's done to their emotional, mental state. He thinks it's okay. And just because no one explicitly tells you that it's not okay, no one explicitly tells you that they're not hurt, doesn't mean that they were not hurt.
It can be harmful both ways. So it's going to impact, young people who are maybe experiencing intimacy with partners for the first time. And, you're going to have people who feel like I can do this to as many people as I want and I don't have to worry about it and I don't have any consequences. But then you have the other side and those people that maybe there were more feelings involved or they did get hurt and they're going to feel like I don't have a voice in that, and I just have to kind of get over it.
Ugh, just presenting this image, I don't know. Because, being a 19-year-old girl in this dating hookup culture that exists today, I've definitely seen firsthand what it has done to the relationship dynamics, amongst college-aged students here. It, I think, is almost always more beneficial for men to have these types of relationships than women. And at the end of the day, it is always the women who experience the scrutiny of having these relationships rather than the men. This has always existed in our society because we live in a patriarchal society, and women do not have the same right to sex as men seem to have.
We were talking earlier about how we've come a long way when it comes to mental health and things like that. And I think this is one of those areas where it's still very similar to how it has always been. Did you have any other things about the show that you wanted to touch on?
We just see this pattern of him with women that he should not be with women that are too young for him. And when you think about why, for me, the thing I'm noticing is they might be easier to manipulate. There is a power dynamic. There's an age power dynamic in these types of relationships. And although Wanda physically is 40, she is mentally a 20-year-old woman. She's been in a coma for 20 years. And I wonder what it was about her that drew him in. Was it the fact that she was so naive? Was it the fact that she was so innocent? I hated that.
Again, he just kind of used his past as an excuse for now I'm going to, throw caution to the wind and run around as though I am a 20-year-old with less responsibility who's just experiencing the world, but he knows better. And he even admits, this is how I am, and I basically treat people poorly, and you need to
Exactly.
get over it. I mean, he says it to her in so many words. He doesn't hide it. And that's the thing about Wanda at that mental age of 20 is like when we don't have that experience. And I think that's what got me about the Wanda relationship was she didn't know better because she didn't have those experiences. And so it was really, really difficult and kind of heartbreaking to watch her go through that when he knew what he was doing and said as much.
Oh my gosh, everything he did to her, like what he did trying to get her to say that she loved him, threatening himself, threatening to harm himself.
That's something that we see very often in real life
So
where,
much, so much.
I think seeing that in a show like this, where it can kind of be seen as like, oh, that happened to me, so that's, kind of normal. Like, that's a normal thing to have happening, when it's really scary when it actually happens.
Yes. I think the show was able to touch on it in a way that kind of definitely alluded to this very real thing that happens so often. In real life, I've personally seen it more as, if you leave me, I will harm myself. And I think that is likely a lot more common than, if you don't tell me you love me, I'll hurt myself. But her eventually giving in to that only reinforces to audiences that you might not have an understanding of this, that, oh, he's right. Like, oh, she did love him. She just said it, so everything's fine. When he was literally threatening to choke himself if she didn't say it.
How do you feel like BoJack Horseman as a whole could impact those young people watching it?
I think it's important to recognize that there is a difference between healthy behaviors and unhealthy behaviors. And BoJack, as the main character in this show, showing all these good and bad things and all of these emotions that BoJack is having to the audience, not only allows but encourages us to sympathize with him. And because we are sympathizing with him, I think this encourages audiences to ignore the shitty things that we might do. And, just because we're emotionally invested, just because we care about them, which in real life, it is just not healthy for anybody, to ignore these behaviors that are so obvious and so clear and are right there just simply because you care about somebody and you don't want to lose them, or because you're emotionally invested in somebody. Dangerous and harmful behaviors are harmful no matter what. Harmful whether you recognize them or whether you ignore them, and they continue to harm, especially when you ignore them.
What do you think is important for young people to keep in mind while they're consuming this popular media? If you could go back and sit with your 16-year-old self to watch this for the first time, what would you want your 16-year-old self to keep in mind?
I just did a research project on body image in media, and I learned about the importance of protective scrolling on social media and like critically analyzing the media you are consuming. And I definitely don't think that only applies to social media. I think that applies to shows like this, and you should be critically examining the stuff that you are consuming, and you should have an awareness of the things that are represented in there that might not be completely representative of real life. Practicing this type of awareness, I think, will help you in the long run to not internalize these potentially harmful behaviors.
I'd like to thank Sophia for being our guest speaker this month and having this conversation about BoJack Horseman and about the responsibilities we all have for our thoughts and feelings. You have been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. We are also now on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine who is interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at cclark@nextstepdvproject.org. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579.